Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
We're so glad to see everyone out this morning. Our scripture reading this morning will be taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'll be reading verses 20 through 24. 1 Corinthians 16, 20 through 24. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The greeting is in my own hand, Paul. If anyone does not love the Lord, he is to be accursed. Maranatha. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. My love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you. Thank you for that reading, Mark, for the prayer day, for the songs, always good as usual. Thank you for being here, brethren and friends. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure to be here, studying in the Bible class this morning. We had a good Bible study. Learned a lot. Revelation is an interesting book. As somebody said in the back a while ago, you're studying that thing, and just all kinds of different ideas come from all kinds of different areas in Scripture, reminded of different parts of Scripture. But Revelation is not unique in that, but that's usually what happens when you study Scripture. You open up anywhere in the book and do this, and before you know it, you're two or three different sections in God's Word. That's all part of that growing. That's all part of knowing that every time you get into this thing, that we can learn from it, grow from it, and develop from it. Good to see everyone. Beautiful day out there. I'm not going to give you the weather report again like I always do. Let Kyle do that this evening. But turn to your Bibles, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25 is where we're going to begin this morning. I want to read about the parable of the 10 virgins this morning. I want to read all 13 verses, so open up your Bibles. Let's get there. You need to have your Bible open. We are part of our worship service where we reverence God and we listen to God's Word. We make applications of the things that we're hearing. We meditate on God's Word. We make changes in our lives as we study and reverence God's Word. That is the part of the worship service that we're in now. Matthew chapter 25. He says, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were prudent. But when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent took oil and flasks along their lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they got all drowsy and began to sleep. I'm in the New American Standard Version. But at midnight there was a shout, behold, the bridegroom comes. Come out to meet him. And all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers to buy some for yourselves. While they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came. And those that were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. You know, behind every parable, there's a question. Who really is my neighbor? Who's my neighbor? What happens when the Word of God is sown in men and women's hearts? And when you look at this parable, the question behind this parable is what? Are you ready? Are you ready? Now, you know, preparedness, I think, has really become sort of a cottage industry in our country. We think about preparedness. There are a lot of folks that are making preparations all kinds for the nuclear holocaust, the natural disaster that's going to happen, the government meltdown, and of course, don't forget the impending zombie apocalypse where all the utilities are going to be wiped out. We're all going to have to move out to the boonies, and we're all going to have to live in compounds, and we're in the compound, we're all going to just have the necessary things to survive. And that way, when the zombies come, or the hurricanes come, or all the natural disasters come, we'll be okay, and everybody will be fine because we're in the compound that avoids all the zombies that are coming. I tell you, I've not watched 2 seconds of, what is that, The Walking Dead? Everybody's crazy about it. I've got to look at it. But at some level, maybe you're not prepared for that, but you know, at some level, all of us think a little bit about preparation. We've got All of us, I'll guarantee all of us in a medicine cabinet, we've got a box of Band-Aids and some alcohol. So when somebody falls and scrapes that knee, we're ready, we're prepared. And over in my parking lot Rover, I've got jumper cables. Not for you, always for me. You know, when you drive junk, you've got to be ready. Got to be prepared because you'll never know when you need that junk. And then, in the glove box of the parking lot Rover, I've got a ice scraper. I'm ready. I'm ready for the blizzard of 2017. So we, in some sense, all of us, I think, have a little bit of preparedness that maybe we don't think about. And when you understand preparedness and the preparedness that Jesus is talking about here, he's not talking about that you need to watch the weather and that way you'll know whether or not to carry an umbrella. What Jesus is talking about in this parable is, when he talks about it, he's talking about a preparedness that I believe nobody's thinking about. That nobody really wants to think about the kind of preparedness that Jesus is talking about. And I don't see a lot of people preparing for what Jesus is talking about in this parable. Jesus is talking about you being prepared and you being ready, your soul being ready for eternity. Jesus is talking about in this parable, he's talking about spiritual preparedness. And candidly, as we look at this parable, I mean, right out of the gate, I know there's some things maybe need to find in the thing, but I don't think any of us, even in that first reading, I don't think they had a problem with recognizing that Jesus, who's Jesus in this? Well, he's the bridegroom, and who are the virgins in that? Who, well, that's us. And what's this delay about? Well, the delay is right now. We're waiting. We are waiting for Jesus to come back again. And behind that is Jesus saying, listen, there's going to be some people that are prepared for that. And also there's going to be some people that are not prepared for that. Jesus saying there's going to be a lot of people that need to go buy some more oil. That need the oil when he comes again. Now, this morning, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about preparedness. I want to talk about being prepared. And I want to look at some principles about preparedness on the return of Jesus. I just think it'd be a shame for all of us. If I knew how to get ready for the economy, the bad weather, or the nuclear holocaust, and I did not know how, and I was not ready for the return of Jesus, I wasn't prepared for that. Am I prepared for the Lord's return? Think about that. Now, having said that, and having looked at this parable a little bit, there's a couple of customs that you always need to talk about parables. When you talk about parables, I love parables. The Lord's the greatest teacher of all time. He taught them parables to the uneducated. They couldn't read or write. But they could relate to the stories that Jesus told, and he made the point. I think that's why I like them so well. You don't forget parables. And as you think about parables, you think about the customs of the day, and you think about this particular parable, and I don't know, 2,000 years from now, they might have a film of us down here at Sandyville, and some scholars, some Bible scholars. Now, this is what they did back then when they got married. You know, these girls come up the aisle, you know, and throw the stuff. And after that, the bride comes in behind. I say that because every society and every culture has a way of identifying that marriage is one of the most important things, if not the most important thing, of human relationships that we have on this earth. And so somebody's going to have to try to figure out why we do what we do. It stands long enough. But every culture has that. But what we're looking at here in Matthew 25, even though we don't know everything about the cultures and customs of the day, Jesus' day, when they got married a couple thousand years ago, but it was customary for the groom to leave his house and go to the bride's house and get her. And at the bride's house, all the friends, the bridesmaids, they were all there. And they were waiting for the groom to come there. And the delay in this was pretty well customary and expected. I think there's some scholars that have decided that delay, what's the delay all about? Well, it had to do with the dowry. And how much money are you going to give for the bride? And in some cultures, you know, a talented. You know, I've only married one daughter. Well, I've only had one daughter. And, I mean, I got studying this, and I thought, well, maybe Simon's parents owed me a cow or two. I don't know. But so they're waiting. Now, they're waiting, and the wait seems forever, all right? And so that all goes off. And now, the other part of that you need to understand in this, as you're looking at this, is what makes them not ready is the last of the problem. Now, first look, the lamp this. You got the genie lamp, you know, the little saucer lamp thing, and you hold it like this. That's not the lamp. That's not the lamp that we're talking about. Remember the Frankenstein movie where all the villagers were mad and headed to the castle, and they got these big torches, and what's that other thing? Indiana Jones falls in that snake pit. That's what we're talking about. That kind of light, that's the kind of lamp that we're talking about. Big long pole stick, at the end of it, got a rag or whatever will burn at the end of it. Alright, that's the kind that we're talking about. And the whole idea behind that is, you know, you trim that. And when you're trimming that, you trim off the stuff that's burnt and get that stuff out of the way. And if you have fabric left, you got to douse that with oil, then you can light it. Alright, or if you don't have any fabric left, you get the fabric and do that. Well, the cry was that they can't get those torches lit. Alright? They don't have enough oil to get those torches lit. Now, that's the issue that those girls will have. Hey, share the oil. Won't you share the oil? Well, you can't share the oil because I don't have enough for my wife. Well, let's go camping out, boys in the summer. And what do you do when you camp out, man? You got the flashlight and you take your buddy's knife hunting and you look down. And his flashlight won't work, so what happens? Well, he goes, hey, I don't have any batteries. And he looks up and says, hey, let me have some of your batteries. It's not going to work. So he's giving him some of his. Your flashlight's not going to work. And really, that's kind of what, in the same way, these girls are trying to light that torch again, and they don't have enough oil to spare the ones that had oil to spare to the girls that didn't have any. All right? Those girls did what? They didn't have adequate preparation. They didn't make adequate preparation so that they'd be able to light their lives, their torches. Now, Jesus is building on that. And he's helping us to understand how we need to be prepared in this parable. For example, I think Jesus is helping us to think a little bit about that here that preparation can maybe look a little foolish until it's used. And again, those TV shows, what is it, preppers, those guys, they got, what, 5 years worth of food and water and ammo and all of that. And you look at those people, if we get news, I already told you I'm going to attend the Lord's house. They got deer meat and guns. But I'm going off my veggie diet. But anyway, you look at those guys and you're just like, wow, are you kidding me? And you look at them like they're overprepared. You know what I mean? Like, okay, it's a little crazy. You know, we wouldn't be that far into preparedness. But in the same sort of way, I think, when we make preparation, people kind of poke at us a little bit. You know, you're taking an umbrella. You see, you have that thing all around. We're not going to need that. No, come on, don't. First aid kit. What do you got first aid kit for? We're not going to need first aid kit. So it's easy to do that to somebody that's trying to show a little bit of preparation. So when you think you know, you don't need it, it's easy to make some folks that do think you need it. Jesus talks about that, as Peter does, in 1 Peter chapter 4. I think the world pokes the Christians a little bit for being prepared for the return of Jesus. Alright? Peter talks about that, about how Christians will be made fun of for getting ready for the return of Jesus. Notice verse 3. 1 Peter 4, verse 3. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued, of course, sensuality, love, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, ding, 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 ding. That's social drinking. If you think it's all right, there it is. Flat out, black and white. No social drinking. Drinking parties and abominable idolatry. In all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them in the same excess, he says. And what they do, they malign you. Hey, man, we're going to go. Let's go, man. We're going to go party. We're going to have a blast. It's going to be great. What? You're a Christian? Oh, man. Are you kidding me? You're going to miss out. That's just about the superstition. So you're hearing that. You're thinking that. You're seeing that. Alright? So look what it says in verse 14. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed because the Spirit of glory and God rests on you. Look at 16. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed. But to his glory, or it is the glorifying God, he says, in his name. Well, we can expect the unprepared not to get it. We can expect the unprepared not to know what we know. We know that there's going to be a pending crisis that's coming. And we're not ashamed to prepare for that pending crisis that is going to come.
We have made up our mind. We have determined that we're going to be ready. We're going to be ready no matter what.
Well, you're thinking then that as a Christian then, that we're supposed to look like the guy who goes on the camping trip, got the gear, got the backpack, it's just the zippers are bulging out, he's got all stuffed out, and somewhere in there he's through in a park, and what are you doing, man? What are you carrying all that? Well, it might snow, you never know. We all see those guys do that. No, that's not what Jesus expects. Jesus doesn't somehow want us to become some kind of overpacking nerds that are prepared for everything. That's not what he's talking about. If you look again in Matthew 25, I want you to look at verse 6. Jesus says there, at midnight, there was a cry. Here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. We're not preparing for something that will never happen. We're not preparing for something that might happen. We're not preparing for a maybe. That's not all preparation. And if you look at the text there and all, isn't there something mystical? Jesus coming? No, no. It's not a question of if it's going to happen. It is going to happen. The only question is when. And you look at the parable, that's the question. They knew that he was going to come. The bridegroom was going to come. They just didn't know when. That's the question. It's going to happen. Jesus is going to return. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus left the apostles standing outside of Jerusalem. Notice what he says in verse 9. And after he had said these things, Acts chapter 1, verse 9. After he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. As they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up into the sky? This Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you watched him go into heaven. There's the promise. Jesus is going to come back. He's going to return. Look at that one in chapter 4. Paul, again, on this same idea. All right? Exactly what the Thessalonians need to hear. Chapter 4, verse 15. Chapter 4, verse 15. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, he says. Then we are called alive, or are alive, and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we shall always be with the Lord. I worry sometimes that truth is fading from our view. You know, sometimes we talk a lot about being prepared. We talk about, you know what, everybody's going to die, the point of man wants to die. We talk about the law, and we want to prepare for our death, and we want to talk about that, but sometimes it seems nobody's talking about the fact that there's a very real possibility that Jesus Christ could come at any moment, at any time. And I think about it, we kind of said that under the rug. We're going to see that. There will be a day, there will be a moment when the sky is rolled back as a scroll. And the archangel will sound the trumpet. And that's going to happen. Jesus will return. We don't talk about that much. I wonder sometimes that we're uninterested in that truth. And because we're uninterested in that truth, because we really don't maybe believe it, or we're just kind of prepared for our own death, I think it affects how our preparedness goes. How do you know that I'm out there doing the battle? I'm out there doing the battle against sin. I'm abstaining from sin. You know what? If that's not going to happen, why should I do it? Why should I do it? And we know. When we know that he's coming, I'm going to tell you something. We don't mind carrying a little bit of extra oil. We don't mind carrying that oil because we want to be ready. We're glad to carry that oil. I think particularly this is an important point here. Because there comes a time when, you know what, you just can't prepare anymore. You know, anytime there's a hurricane, and they're charting that, boy, they love it, don't they? We got one time, you know, I mean, hurricane season, and they project the route and the way it's going to go. We're going to make landfall 10,000 different lines. It's such a joke. But they all send reporters down there. I love when they go down there and what's really happening. You know what I mean? You got a guy, 100 miles out, they send a microphone, hold on, please. I don't know why they do that to you guys. Anyway, before the storm hits, they always go down there, evacuate, and they ask, you know, they always go to the guy and stick the microphone in the guy that looks like he came to UFO the night before. You say it, huddle first. I'll roll these out before it's no big, you know, you talk to guys, blah, blah. And sometimes, and Jeannie and I go out a couple, but sometimes that doesn't work out so well. Hurricane Andrew, 200 mile an hour wind, went across Florida, read the story, and the guy, the family decided to ride it out. And trees up, tens of thousands of gallons of water pouring down, 200 mile an hour wind, and they're in their house, and they literally see the whole roof go. The roof goes. And after the roof, they're all screened, they're holding onto the walls, because if they don't hold onto the walls collapse, that thing's going to collapse like a house of cards. And it's going to kill them, and they're screaming, and they're scared out of their minds, because they realize that they're going to pay the ultimate price for not being prepared and not heeding the warning. And at that very moment, that's a bad feeling when you're past the point that you can prepare. And I'm sure they felt that. And I think that's exactly what Jesus is driving at in this story. Jesus deliberately structures this parable so that it is impossible for the girls to go out and buy more oil. If they had lived at a 24-hour open Walmart, they could have zipped around the corner and got more oil. Well, this whole parable has been completely lost. Really, the point that Jesus is making. But what Jesus is saying is, there's time to repair. There is time. Now, people are going to poke fun at you, and people are going to do all those things for being prepared. But when the crisis comes, you can't prepare then. That's his point. We say what? Better late than never. Jesus says, never actually come. When it's too late to prepare, you cannot prepare. Too late. That's his point there. You better be ready now. Because what? You don't want to be caught unprepared. Now, let me speak real specifically about that. You know, we're talking about the oil and lamps and being ready. What's all that mean? What's it mean? First and foremost, it means that if you're not a Christian, you need to be a Christian. You need to see what the Bible says about being a Christian. Acts 2:38, you need to repent of your sins, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. You need to obey the gospel of Christ to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, I can promise you, you're unprepared. And you're not ready. And really spinning off of this parable, Jesus talking about the kingdom of heaven here, Matthew 25, verse 20, says kingdom of heaven. He's talking about the kingdom of heaven so you can go to heaven when you die. That's his point. He's urging those preparations to be made in this parable, in this idea. And really, in fact, there's a very common idea about that banquet in heaven. Revelation 19 talks about all of us that go to heaven, we're going to sit down, have a banquet with Jesus Christ. Those in the kingdom of heaven are all going to be there. That's what he's talking about. If you're not a Christian, you need to be one. You need to prepare for this because it is coming. That's first and foremost. Do you want to? Do you want to be unprepared? See what happens? Look at verse 10. Look what happens to the folks that are unprepared. The door was shut. If Jesus, the bridegroom, comes, and you're unprepared, whatever you, you're going to be on the outside. You are going to be on the outside with the girls that were unprepared. And I look at this, and I make those statements. First, I don't know how Jesus being plain. I do not know how Jesus being plain about it. Do you want to miss heaven? You're going to miss heaven if you don't make preparations. You need to get ready. What about those of us who are Christians? Oh, we've made some preparations. We have been baptized into Christ. We're where all spiritual blessings are. And we're ready. But you know what? In being ready, there's something about staying ready. Now think about that. As Christians, how do we stay ready? You ever thought about that? I want to stay ready for the Lord to come. What am I doing to stay ready? You know, one of the things that I think a lot of us need to do is learn how to pray. I think learning how to pray is going to help all of us prepare for Jesus. And I'm not just talking about chanting off a bunch of stuff, but I'm talking about leaning on prayer. I'm talking about prayer that builds and strengthens character. That's the kind of prayer I'm talking about. I'm talking about prayer that's real and that develops your relationship with God. That's the kind of prayer that will help you get ready for the Lord's coming. What else? How about Bible study? Do you think that Bible study, that opening this book, the Word of God, the only Word of God, do you think that might help you stay ready? Open up these pages. What satisfies God? What pleases God? What did people do that made God happy? I want to do that. What did people do that displeased God? I want to know that. All of those things will help us. What the church do? Really all of that, if you think about that kind of study, really that's the essence of preparing. Really. What about learning to be recharged in worship? That's right, right here. You know what to do in the week? I'll tell you what, we can be distracted in the week. If we can, in a day, in a second, in a moment, we can be distracted. And a lot of our preparedness during the week slips. We slip. We're not prepared as we should be. And so, you know what? We may decide to lay up treasure in this world a little bit. And you know what happens? You know, then we come here. And then when we come here, we reconnect with the certainty of life. And we regain our focus. Jesus is my Savior. Jesus is my Lord and King. Jesus is the one I serve. And serve. Jesus is coming again. And you know what? I'm glad I can't. I need to be ready. I need to start focusing on that. I'm glad I came here to worship. I'm recharged about that. Maybe the best thing we need to do, come back to 1 Corinthians 16. Nikki read for us. And really memorize this verse. That's why I'm turning to it. But I really just have to remember part of it. If anyone does not love the Lord, verse 22, he is to be accursed. Maranatha. You know what? That's what the New American Standard version says. I bet your version says, come, Lord. Come quickly, Lord. Come soon. I look at that text. And you know what? He talks about getting ready. You have to pray for that. They're praying for that. They're wanting that. If you ever prayed, Lord, come quickly. Lord, come quickly. And really believe that. In the parable, the bridesmaids were doing what? They were hoping the bridegroom came. They couldn't wait for the bridegroom to come. And they earnestly expected him to come. They wanted him to come. You ever take on those terms? I hope the Lord comes right now. Oh, I'll tell you what, the best day of my life will be the day the Lord comes. I want him to come right now. You ever take on those terms? You ever pray about that? You talk about something that will help you get prepared and stay prepared. You start thinking that way. What an attitude that would be to have and would help us as Christians stay ready. We need to get ready. We want to stay ready because when we don't and we prepare too late, the consequence is unbelievable. Look again, Matthew 25. What a terrible price to the unprepared. Verse 10. Alright. He says this. While they were going to buy the bridegroom's chain, those who were ready went with him into the marriage feast, and the door was shut. After the other virgins came also and said, Lord, Lord, open to us. He answered and said, I don't know you. Now wait a minute. Wait. Hey, you know what? This is New Testament Palestine. You know what I mean? They didn't have wristwatches. They didn't have cell phones that panged at the terror reading the atomic clock with absolute precision. I mean, they didn't have all of that. And in the New Testament world, hey, people didn't have that kind of stuff. And plus, they walked everywhere they went. And so being late was common. It's not like it is today. Everybody's on time, especially at the services. But being late was, well, it was expected. Yeah, everybody just expected that. So what's up with that? And you think about that, and you think about how that response there, you can't get in. I mean, that's kind of rude, maybe. But I want you to understand that actually, if a bridesmaid who did not have any preparation, that are the rude ones. I like what this scholar says. He says, the foolish bridesmaids missed the entire procession back to the groom's house, along with all the festive singing and dancing. And they missed the crucial element of a Jewish wedding in which the bride was brought into the groom's house under the wedding canopy. Having insulted the host, they could not be admitted to the feast. Having insulted the host, they could not be admitted to the feast. You know, people have a lot of scenarios. I've got a lot of scenarios about Judgment Day, about what's going to be said, what's going to be done, all of those things. But you ever been concerned about insulting God on the Judgment Day? You ever been concerned about that? You ever think about that? My lack of preparation, is it going to insult the Lord? Maybe we ought to grab this wedding out text and fast forward it, maybe put it in terms of our wedding day. You know, everybody's been married has best man. I got the best man, and I'm with him. Hey, look, here's what I want done. Here's what I want done before the rehearsal dinner. Here's what I want done after the rehearsal dinner. Here's what I want done during the ceremony. Here's what it's going to say after the wedding. Hey, man, I've got it. How many times you got to go over with me? I've got to cut it. That's my best man talk. Well, here we go. It's Friday night. It's rehearsal dinner time. And he's at the rehearsal. He's like, man, best man not show up. That's kind of bad. Doesn't show up. Then we do the rehearsal. He's not even there. We go to the rehearsal dinner. He's got some of those things. And he's not there. Doesn't show up. Kind of nervous, you know what I mean? Well, next day, chapel time, it's wedding time, and you only got the building for a little while. Guess he's not showing up. It's the best man again. He's not showing up. And well, people become impatient. Hey, let's just go ahead and do the wedding. And so the wedding is done, and the bride and groom turn around, and they go down the aisle, and everybody's going right, and they open the door, and when they open the door, the first thing you see is the best man standing there. Hey, I made it. Let's do the wedding. I'm here to do the wedding. I said, what? You're late. You're horribly late. What are you even doing here? Well, I can't believe it. Well, I'm going to tell you what. Hey, last night, the game was on, you know. That game went into overtime, and you and I missed overtime. And I couldn't break away tonight. I had to go forward. This morning, I got up to come to the wedding, and I had to stop getting gas in the car, and I had to stop getting the tux fitted on the way. I remember that. And I had to get the tux fitted, and after that fitting, and I looked in the mirror, I was wearing the tux off. I need a haircut. So we've got a haircut. Oh, that doesn't matter. Hey, I'm a little late, but I'm here. Let's get started. That's not going to happen. Nobody's going to say, hey, since he's changed, let's turn around here and do the wedding. No. At the very best, you can say that guy's a jerk. Well, what's he done? He's insulted the host. He has insulted the host. He can't come to the wedding. Don't you understand something? All of us are sinners. We are all sinners. We are alienated from God by our rebellious acts. All of us. God has sent His Son to make it possible for us to be reconciled to Him. Part of that and all of that really is that Jesus died on the cross and then made a way really for us. You know when He did that? After He did that, you know what He said? He said, you get ready. You get ready and you stay ready. Because I'm coming back. I'm going to come back. And when Jesus comes back, you're going to saw Him. Are you going to be the one to say, hey, wait, can I go get some more oil? You can saw the host. You'll not be able to join Him in the marriage feast. Lack of preparation has enormous cost. And I look at this parable. You and I must get ready. We must get ready for Jesus. Make you think that. That's what the parable is supposed to do, is make you think. Are you ready? Are you ready? That's the question. Get your phone book out. I need to tell you, I'm not actively preparing for a worldwide zombie eclipse. I'm for apocalypse too, I guess. But I'm not ready for that. I don't think it's going to happen. I don't believe that. I know it's all scary to you that everybody watches and rents it and all that. But on the other hand, I'm going to tell you something. I am actively preparing for the return of Christ. And the reason is because I know that to be true. I know that Jesus is coming any moment. I'm preparing for that. I'm making preparations for that when I die. But even more, there's a fundamental truth in that, you know what? Jesus could come at this moment. I don't want to die. The Lord's going to return. The bridegroom's going to come. Are you ready? Jesus said, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Part of this lesson is about all of that. If you haven't done that, you're lost. You are not ready. You are not prepared. If the Lord will shout now, you will be lost in eternal hell. If you're not a Christian, you're lost. The Lord can't be any more plain than that. If you are a Christian and you haven't been staying ready, if you've been loving the world, doing everything the world offers, you're not preparing. You're not worried. You put that day off somewhere back in the distance. Don't worry about what's going to happen. You'll be like those five gals that didn't have the oil. You're going to assault the host. Worst yet, are you going to spend eternity in hell with cause of that decision? The invitation is there. Please come. Let's get together with Sam and Son.